Sunday morning, we've been having one of the men of our church give a testimony and tell you how God saved them or something God's doing in their life today. Timothy is going to come and give his testimony.
So I was born and raised in a Christian home, as you guys have probably heard from my brothers, as you know. We were raised in a Christian home, but I'd always heard about how to get saved and stuff, and I knew how to do it, sort of how it works and stuff, but I still had questions, and I talked to my mom at a young age and stuff. It never really made sense to me, you know, you just believe in Jesus, repent of your sins. It never made sense to me how you could go to heaven after that. But I talked to her, and it never made sense after that. And then, you know, one Sunday we were singing a song in the church, and it clicked, and it made sense to me at that point. And so I prayed and asked God to save me and repent of my sin, and I've been living for him, or trying to live for him ever since then.
Boy, it doesn't make sense to us, does it? How could the King of Glory, how could the Creator of the universe come down and die for me? That doesn't make sense. But aren't you glad God didn't ask us to make sense of it? He said, believe it and accept it. Oh, man, that's just good. Let's turn now to number 314. Number 314, let's stand as we sing, More Love to Thee. More love to Thee. That means, you know, love is not selfish. It's not selfish of our time. You know, if we're loving somebody, we don't say, well, I want me time. Well, that's not loving somebody else, that's loving me. If I'm loving God, is it about me time? I'm going to get on the bandwagon too. It's okay just once a year to skip church for the Super Bowl. No, that's not okay. That's not loving God. That's loving me. Right, it's loving the Super Bowl. Yeah. We shouldn't love the Super Bowl over loving God, should we? So let's sing number 314. We want more love to Him. Let's sing it out.
More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to
sing it on the fourth.
Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. Be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to
be seated.
Open your Bibles, please, to 1 John. These songs, if they have not prepared for the message this morning, I don't know what will. You know, this idea of drawing nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. That is a scripture verse. If somebody says, well, I've been drawing nigh to God, and He is not drawing nigh to me, it's probably me right here. All right, is that better? Hopefully. Sometimes the wire gets a little short in it or something. Okay. No. I'm just going to go back to the pulpit.
The idea of if someone says, well, I've been drawing nigh to God and God's not drawing nigh to me. Is the problem with you or with God? Problem's with us. Because God made a statement. It's a point blank statement. Draw nigh to God and I will draw nigh to you. That's what he said. And this idea of more love to thee. More love to thee. And so we look at it, and I want to go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. We're looking at relationship with God. And the idea of fellowship with God is the theme for this morning. And what we're wanting to do is get out. Is this already on? Okay. But it's turned on here. Okay, so I need to turn it on. Where's the on button? There it is. We're going to get it. There, it's green. The other one, when it's red, it's ready. This one, when it's green, is ready. So we look at this and we understand that God wants not us to be a religious people. God wants a relationship with us. God wants to fellowship with us. You look at that and you think, why would God Almighty, holy, holy, holy God, want to fellowship with little old man, sinful man nonetheless? Why would God look at it and say, I will do everything that I can do in order to make it possible for you to be reconciled to me? And God wants that. And our actions, our works, do not put us into a relationship with God. Trusting Jesus puts us in a relationship with God. We're going to look at some of this morning. 1 John 1, 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's talking about Jesus. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He's actually calling Jesus Christ here eternal life, and he says eternal life was with the Father, and it was manifested, which means to be made known or to show up to us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's saying, look, I want you to know Jesus, and if you know Jesus, then we will have sweet fellowship together, because I have fellowship with the Father, and I have fellowship with Jesus, and you have fellowship with the Father, and you have fellowship with Jesus, and it doesn't matter whether we're Chinese, Russian, Argentinian, Brazilian, or American, we can fellowship together because we both know and follow Jesus, and what a wonderful thing that is. Verse number 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's pray. We'll look at the message today. Father, I ask you would help us. God, it is our desire to have fellowship with you. It is our desire to draw nigh to you. And God, I pray that through the message today, you will help every person here today and every person listening today. God, that you would totally transform our life. And do it in such a way that we would just have a true, walking, loving relationship with you.
God, that we would not be looking at what we do as an avenue to you, but God, that we would look at what we do as a result of loving you. Father, I ask you would help us with this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God desires fellowship with us. It is an amazing thing. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, we see the creation of man. And it is an incredible thing. God makes all of creation, and then he finishes up with the creation of man. And in verse 26 through 28, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." God created man. And we can see that God came down and God literally walked with Adam and God walked with Eve and God had fellowship together with them in the cool of the day. God would show up in the garden, and on this particular day, God showed up and they heard God coming through the garden and he's approaching them, and Adam and Eve hide themselves. And the reason that they're hiding themselves is nothing that God did. It is because they had broken God's commandments. They had sinned. And that sin separated them from God. I want you to consider this. Job 7:17 says this, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him?" Here's the question coming, and that idea of, God, what am I? What are we? God, why would you set your heart on man? We're nothing. We're sinners. God, what is it about man? And yet God loved man. God created man. God loved man in spite of the fact that man was a sinner. And God says, "I still love you. And I want to fellowship with you, and I'm setting my heart on you, and as a result of my love for you, I'll send my son Jesus. He'll die, he'll pay for your sins so that we can be reconciled together because I love you." Psalm 8:4 says this, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" You think occasionally a man will take some ants and he'll make an ant farm. And he'll actually look at these ants and he'll have some level of care for these ants. But typically, do you really care what the ants are doing except when they get in your house and you want to destroy them? You know what? We walk on them all day, every day. You mow the yard, you mow over the ant hill that's kind of built up and the dust goes flying. And we're man. We're above the ants. But do you realize we're closer to the ant than we are to God as far as perspective goes? We're part of God's creation, and yet God looks at man and God says, "I love you. I'm mindful of you. I want to have a relationship with you." Psalm 144, verse 3 says, "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him?" God, what am I? Why would you listen to my prayer? Why would you want to, with all of your might and power, why would you help me? Why would you save me? Why would you look down at this baby that was born in Fairfield, Iowa, and grew up, and God, yet you sent Jesus to die for my sin. And then you want to talk with me? You want to speak to me through your word, and God, thank you for your word. And God, thank you that we can pray and talk to you, but God, why us? Nothing. And yet, God loves us. So God desires fellowship with us. Our fellowship is based, first of all, upon knowing Jesus Christ. Again, in 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The end of verse 7 says this: the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. What is the basis of us not having fellowship with God? There's one three-letter word that keeps us out of fellowship with God. That word is sin. Now I want you to look at 1 Corinthians, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, verse 4 through 9. Now, understanding that the church of Corinth is not a great example of a church, but it is a great example of the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our wickedness, in spite of all the things that we have. Our fellowship with God is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say right before I read, the permanent relationship we have with God as adopted children is eternally secure, and we are kept by God's power. That relationship is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God when you get saved. Now, your fellowship with Him on a daily basis is going to be based largely upon how we decide we want to have a relationship with Him. He is 100% available. Verse 4, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Where do you get that grace from? Jesus. That in everything ye are enriched by Him. Now, does that mean you have a lot of money? No, it's just in every way He has enriched us. In all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, he's writing to a group of believers, and he's saying, every one of you, you group of believers, this church of Corinth, you are confirmed in Jesus Christ. You're waiting for Jesus Christ to come. That day is coming when the rapture is going to take place, and it's going to be a blessed day. Now, were the people of the church of Corinth perfect? No, not by any means. Look at some verses. 3:15. Says this. This is at the judgment seat of Christ, and the statement is made, if any man's works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here's a person who got saved. They didn't do much of anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. They went to heaven on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God says, hey, let's look at your works, what you did for me. I want to give you some rewards. Everything burned up. There was nothing to reward. And yet the man was saved. And the Bible says, saved yet so as by fire, or if you will, by the skin of your teeth. But it's fully done in Jesus Christ, because the relationship, the eternal relationship, is in Jesus Christ. 5:5, chapter 5, verse 5. Here you've got a very wicked person in the church, a fornicator, someone participating in immorality. And it says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now here's somebody that's saved. They've trusted Christ as Savior, but then they started to participate in the worst of the worst acts of immorality. He says, put them out of the church. Turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the what? Flesh, not the spirit. Satan has no power over a saved spirit. That saved spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But Satan can wreak havoc on our flesh. It says, turn him over for the destruction of the flesh, but he's still saved. 15, chapter 15. Verse 51 through 57. Says this, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, our flesh, must put on incorruption, a new body. This mortal, our flesh, must put on immortality, a new body which will not die. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, we get saved. We're waiting for the rapture. Now, this church of Corinth, are all of them waiting for the rapture? Sure they were. Were some of them deserving of heaven? Absolutely none of them were deserving of heaven. But through Jesus Christ, they got saved. Some of them were living for God, and in their relationship with God, they had fellowship. Others were put out of the fellowship. We'll get back to that in a minute in 1 John. They were put out of the fellowship with believers, and they were put out of fellowship with God because of their sin. But they're looking for the rapture. See, our relationship with God, as far as we are His adopted children, that is secure in God, that is not dependent upon us, that is dependent upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, they're saved. Now, shouldn't saved people want a fellowship with God? Absolutely. Shouldn't God's children want to communicate in fellowship with their Heavenly Father? Absolutely. So our fellowship, then, is based upon walking in the light. Go back to 1 John. I want to read again, verse 3 through 7. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, our fellowship with God is first of all based upon our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. A person that is not saved does not have fellowship with God. And then it goes further. And John's saying, look, I also want us to have fellowship together. And what does he say our fellowship together is based upon? It's based upon our knowledge and knowing and having a relationship with God. So if we have a relationship with God, we are what in Christ? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, brothers and sisters ought to have good relationship. Now, I know that sometimes brothers and sisters can get a little out of sorts with each other. But I'll tell you what, as brothers and sisters in Christ, If we have fellowship with Jesus, we're going to have sweet fellowship together. If we're out of fellowship with Jesus, what does that do with our fellowship? It also kind of puts it out there. Verse 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is how much darkness? No darkness at all. Wow. What a blessing. These people that say believers are going to get to heaven and they're going to be in outer darkness. Something wrong with that. We're going to be in the presence of God. God is light. Look, I don't think there's any darkness in heaven. Jesus is the light thereof. Verse 6, though, it says this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, this is not about talking, it's about walking. Any person can say, I love Jesus. Give you a simple illustration. A man goes out and commits adultery. Comes back home to his wife. She says, we're done. He says, oh, I'm sorry, I love you. Does he love her? Mm-mm. No. Because he went out and committed adultery with somebody else. He's not demonstrating any love toward his wife. What he's got is all of a sudden he realized he's going to lose what he had. And he realizes, I really don't want to spend my life with that person. I just used them. They're not the kind of person I really want. And happens. So here, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So our fellowship together, Brother Shocks and my fellowship together, Brother Reeds and my fellowship together, Elijah and my fellowship together, is based upon what? Each of our fellowship with God. If I get out of fellowship with God and he's in fellowship with God, are we really going to mesh? If you're out of fellowship with God and I'm in fellowship with God, are we really going to mesh? And if one church really wants to serve God and wants to be in fellowship with God, and there's another church that doesn't want to be in fellowship with God, and one is walking in light and another is walking in darkness, how much can they really agree? They can't really agree. The problem is, when we're walking in darkness, we're demonstrating that we do not have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saying a person's not saved. We're saying, if they say they have fellowship, they're liars. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. And so we come down to verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So John 12:46 says this, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now think about this, look at this, and understand this. Jesus said in John chapter 3, let's go ahead and turn there, John chapter 3, in verse 18, hold your place in 1 John, unless you left it already. John chapter 3, and verse 18, what is it that keeps a person from coming to Jesus Christ? It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. You know what happens sometimes? A person goes off into sin, and all of a sudden they don't want to be in church anymore. Why? Because the Word of God is light. Because Christian people are light. And they know that their deeds are going to get reproved. Now, I hope that you come to church in order that your deeds may be reproved. Because all Scripture, and I say again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do you know what? The Scripture is profitable to reprove us when we are walking in darkness. When we're walking in darkness, don't we need some light? My wife and I were walking down from Matthew and Brianna's this week, and down it was dark. And their last bit of their top of their driveway there, and that it's all washed out, and the ruts are big. And we start walking, and all of a sudden, my wife pulls out her flashlight. We got to the creek, and she jumped on my back. And I walked across the creek, and she's shining the light because she didn't want to fall down with me. She didn't want me to fall down with her. All right, she was wise to put the light there. There's stones and things in the creek. You could easily misstep. And if I fell down, then I might as well just roll around. But you know what? Light shows us our errors. Now, a person who loves God will say, show me errors. David prayed and God, said to God, try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. The invitation was, God, I want you to show me my darkness. I want you to show me where I'm not right. Now, sometimes a person says, I'm staying as far away from church as possible. Why? Because they're walking in darkness. Now, can that very person say, oh, I love the Lord? Yeah, they can say it. What does the Bible say? They're liars. They're liars. I didn't say it. God did. But we look at this, and in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. That we should go to the heathen, they to the circumcision. They're going to go to the Jews, we're going to go to the Greeks. But they got together and they looked and said, what's your position? Do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that we ought to be ye holy as he is holy? And they go through all of this stuff and they realize, hey, they know Jesus, we know Jesus, they're walking in the light, we're walking in the light, and they said, hey, let me give you the right hand of fellowship, and by giving that right hand of fellowship, they're saying, hey, we're in agreement. We're fellowship together. Now, one thing we ought never do. Fellowship with you. You're nothing but a low life. You're not as exactly the same as I am. And you know what? The truth be told, if you were to take two people who are not in fellowship, and one of them is saying about the other, well, your walk with God is not good enough for me. We'd better be careful before we make that statement to look where first. Jesus says, let's take the beam out of our own eye before we try to take the mote out of someone else's eye. Because an honest person could stand back and look at both lives and we could say, you know what, here's some faults and here's some faults. But sometimes we're not honest enough to look at ourselves. Someone else can see from the outside, But we won't. And we need to look. It's fellowship with us. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What is it that separates us from fellowship? Sin? Iniquity? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This book of Corinthians has a lot to do with that relationship that is totally by Jesus Christ, but it has to do then with fellowship. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 22 says this, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. As I speak to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. That bread is Jesus. It's not saying specifically that bread. Now, we take communion or the Lord's Supper and we take a symbolic grape juice that symbolizes the blood of Christ, and we take the bread which symbolizes the body of Christ. But what bread have we partaken of? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so we've partaken of the bread of life. What does partaking food together show? Fellowship. Fellowship. Now, what kind of bread and food do we take from God to fellowship with Him? The Bible. And as we sit over the food that God gives us, we're looking at it, we're saying, boy, we're fellowshipping with God as we eat the bread that God gives us in His Word. And we come to this book in order to fellowship with God. When was the last time you fellowshipped with God? But it says this, behold Israel, I'm sorry, verse 17, for we be many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. When they would make a feast with sacrifices to the idols, he says they're actually fellowshipping with devils and not to God. He says, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? He says, look, if you're going to be out there eating at the idol feast, you're not having the Lord's Supper here in church. We're not eating together. We're not fellowshipping together. You have fellowship with devils. No, if we want fellowship with God, we can't be having fellowship with devils. And we can't be having fellowship with the devil's things and the devil's works. And the devil's immorality, and the devil's lies, and the devil's language, and the devil's crudeness, and the devil's wickedness, and the devil's dress, and all of the things that are the devil's, the world. Who's behind the world? The devil. God says, no, come out of that darkness. Ephesians 5, or 2 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 17, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, the world, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, there's a fellowship here, and if we're fellowshipping with Christ, he says, I'm not going to share that with devils. I'm not going to share that with the world. There's no agreement. There are sometimes fellowship issues. Somebody comes along, and they don't believe the Bible, I'm going to have a hard time fellowshipping with them. Now, I may fellowship with them in the sense of trying to convince them of the truth of the Word of God. But as far as fellowship goes, we just enjoy one another's company. I'm sorry, just not there. And sometimes we break because of darkness and light. Now, as children of light, we should try to bring children of darkness over to the light. That's really fellowship. It's called evangelization. It's called witnessing. Ephesians 5:11 says this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." If we're fellowshipping with Christ, and along comes the works of darkness. Throughout the book of Corinthians, works of darkness were fornication and immorality. Works of darkness were brethren taking one another to law. And there's a host of other works of darkness that are in there. It says, you know what? There's a test of fellowship here. And that test of fellowship is light and darkness. Test of fellowship of us with God Almighty. If we're walking in darkness and we say we have fellowship with God, God said, you're a liar. But if we're walking in the light and we say we have fellowship with God, yep, absolutely, absolutely. Just like you would fellowship with a person, you talk to God. We call it prayer. Prayer is actually the asking part. Our talking with God has praise. It has where thanksgiving. It has confession of sin, where we're asking God for forgiveness. It has then just talking with God. God, just like you'd talk to a friend. God, I'm going through this right now. God, I can't do it on my own. Here's kind of what happened. And I know, we know. Does God know what happened before we tell him? It's still good to talk to him about it. And then listen to God. Am I going to hear an audible voice? No, you have the Word of God. And read it. And let God speak to you. And you have the Holy Spirit of God. Listen. Now be careful of feeling. Every feeling is not from the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? People oftentimes, well, I was talking to God and I had this feeling. You know, if a feeling agrees with Scripture, okay. If it doesn't, you better be careful. And then have friendships based around the things of God. My best friends in this world are people who fellowship with God. And as far as friends outside of that, okay, I have acquaintances. I have people that I'd like to see come to the Lord. But I'll tell you what, there's just, to me, there's not a lot of fun in hanging out with unbelievers. So have friendships based around the things of God. Praise God. Tell God how great He is. Tell God that you appreciate His holiness. Tell God how much you are grateful for Him sending Jesus Christ to die for your sins. God is truly, truly wonderful. And He is worthy of our praise, and we ought to give Him praise. Share your heart with God. God, this is what I'm feeling right now. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but God, it's just the truth. And in sharing those feelings, you can let God help you to sort it out. Then don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the thought of, and in preparing for next week's message, you know, the thought of, sometimes I had this thought, you know, we don't want to offend God, but it is impossible to offend God because God cannot stumble. And that's what the word offend means, to cause to stumble. But we can grieve God. And when someone has grieved you, how much fellowship is there? If someone has done you wrong, how much fellowship is there? And so we need to be careful in our relationship with God that we're talking to Him, that we're listening to Him, that we're fellowshipping with the people of God, that we're praising Him, thanking Him, sharing our heart with Him. We need to make sure that we're not grieving Him. Is there something in your life that's grieving the Holy Spirit of God? You say, well, how would I know that? If it's a work of darkness, it's grieving Him. He's light. In Him is no darkness at all. He says we're not to have fellowship with the works of darkness. So if it is of this world and it's wrong, how do you know if it's wrong? The book tells us. The Word of God tells us. So if we're walking in darkness, if you've got something in your life that's grieving the Holy Spirit of God, it really hinders that fellowship with God. This is about a relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about religious duties. Now, once we have a relationship with God, the things that God tells us to do, we all of a sudden want to do them. It's not a matter anymore of us having to force ourselves to do them. We want to. Do you want to meet with God in the morning? Do you get up? Okay. Well, I'm going to read my Bible because they expect me to do it at church. That's a bad reason. Now, if that's the only reason, just do it. And maybe God will get a hold of your heart. But I'll tell you what. The whole idea is I should want to, and if I'm fellowshipping with God, I should want to read His Word. And if you want to know, if you just get up in the morning day after day after day after day and you don't read His Word, there's something wrong. Something wrong with your fellowship. If you're following the world rather than following God's path, there's darkness and light. But I'll tell you what, every one of us need to look at ourselves. Don't be looking at your neighbor right now. Don't be thinking about your friend. You look at you, say, am I in fellowship with God? Am I following Him? Am I walking in the light? Am I demonstrating a true Christianity, Christ-likeness in my heart and life? Do I have fellowship with God? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we ask that You would help us right now, every one of us, just to look into our own hearts. And God, to look and say, is there any darkness in me? Is there anything in me that's grieving You? And God, if there is, help us to get that taken care of, that we may walk in a true fellowship with You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if God's spoken to your heart and you have something to come and talk to Him about, I encourage you to do so. In your life, anything at all that's grieving the Holy Spirit of God, do you talk with Him? Maybe somebody needs to just take some time and share their heart with God right now. Sometimes we get in our heart or spirit the attitude of, I don't like what God did. We need to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. You don't make any mistakes. You're always right. You're always good. If I don't understand it, I need you to just understand your ways are not my ways. You know what I love about church is it's God's people, not perfect people, but God's people trying to walk with God. Striving to please Him. I'm glad to be a member of church. We'll be a part of this fellowship. I don't want to bother God with my problems. He wants to be bothered. He loves you. He loves you. Let's walk with Him. Father, we are so thankful. God, as ununderstandable as it may be, that You would want to fellowship with us. It is truly our privilege to fellowship with You. And God, I pray that You would help us to walk in that fellowship and, Lord, to experience that true joy of laying our head on our pillow at night and understanding there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. God, help us, every one of us, to do better. God, help us to walk in the light. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.